Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings. Messiah's Branch Prophecy Show. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, November 11th, 2021. The world is in turmoil. Most people don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before the sign. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look and not you. Hear the statue, far heed the warning, get right now before it's for you should or not, if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, or just call my cell phone, 316-619-4886. Make sure you text me first, if it's possible, so I know that you're not a robocall. Find updates for the breaking news, all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, and all this at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Now, mind you, there's just bare things there right now, but there's been a webmaster working on it, and within, it should be by tomorrow, it should be back up, and you should listen and do all the normal things over there. But the people that had us, Google, that had held our website for so long, I don't know, blogger, well, they sent me. They didn't like, they said I broke community guidelines, so we had to redo everything. Anyway, go over there, prophecyhour.com. Can't find us there. WichitaHomeless.com will also take you to where you need to be to get information. We are a national satellite radio program. We simulcast live on internationally on YouTube, podcast, some FM station. Pray about support and airtime. It's not free. Thank our listener base of worldwide places like Johannesburg, South Africa, Yokohama City, Japan, Istanbul, Turkey, and in the United States, Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, San Francisco, California, and Kansas City, Kansas is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. By the way, folks, we're having a little trouble with branch.podomatic, which gives us our stats. So please consider sending me a text at 316-619-4886. Let me know what city you're hailing from. Allison Church at Twitter at Brent77. Now prayer, and I'll bring on tonight's guest. We're all been looking forward to hearing from. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, this world is in turmoil, Father. I just ask that you'd comfort everybody that listens tonight and everybody that is in you that believes in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. But Father, I pray radio or not goes according to your will and not our will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, sir, we've got Pastor Carl back on. I think I can hear him in the background. Anyway, Pastor Carl is Gallup's is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally. He's been heard on TV, and he's a radio guest commentator. Former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents in the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama, and he has radio programs that you can find right over there at carlgallup.com. Freedom Fridays, and he's got an Ask the Preacher thing, too. So go over there and check him out at carlgallup.com. He's written 11 books. Well, actually, I think it's 12 now. We'll ask him in a minute. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah. That's really a dynamite book. Both of those about that is. Anyway, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, The Summoning, and I know he has a new book. I just didn't write the name down the last time he was on. Well, are you there with us, Pastor Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. You're so gracious in your introduction, my brother. Thank you. So you've been out there breaking community standards, huh?
Yeah, that's what they told. Well, I didn't know it. Somebody, you know, texted me and said, hey, look at your website. And I looked at it, and it was up because they show it to you. You know what I mean? They wouldn't let anybody else see it. Well, then my son sent me also a notice, so I double looked and I got to poking around, and it says, this site has been locked because you broke community guidelines. Well, naturally, I hit the button on it. It says you can appeal it, and I've never heard back from them. But it's supposed to be back up. I had somebody volunteer to help me out and build a site because I'm no real big webmaster. That's why I use Blogger all these years. For the record, you know, Google Blogger it's free. They have unlimited space. But if you post things like I post, I guess they, you know, will freeze you. But I had them for over 10 years.
Yeah. So their community standards, you can't talk about Jesus. You can't talk about the Word of God. You can't talk about what a real marriage is. You can't talk about the sanctity of the womb. Wow, what standards the community has now, huh?
Probably zero.
Yeah.
According to our standards, I mean, the world is just what it seems like. You know, I keep saying at the first of the program that we're in great turmoil, and I don't see how everybody isn't seeing it. I mean, like, look at this. Here's an example of this craziness. They passed a law in one of those cities in California where as long as you steal under $900 worth of stuff from a store, that you're probably not going to get prosecuted. They rarely ever prosecute you. And the store people tell them, well, don't stop anybody walking out of the store with $900 or, you know what I mean, left. And so they're just saying it's okay to steal. So now some stores have had to close because of that. Stealing's okay. And now they want this whole list of things. Like they want to give, now they want to put babies and children. They want to give this crazy thing that they're calling a vaccine, but they had to change the name of it, or not the name of it, but the definition of it to call it a vaccine. And Pfizer even put heart attack medicine in the children's dosages so that if the children have a heart attack, then it's a medicine that they give you if you have a heart attack to bring you back. It's all just crazy. Where's all this going, Carl?
Yeah. Well, brother, listen, there is an agenda afoot. And I don't mean that in some deep conspiratorial, you know, and then I have an arm's length of all of these conspiracies. I just mean it is demonic. It is last days. It is prophetic. It is the spirit of Antichrist, the Babylon spirit that's sweeping the globe. God's wrath is coming upon this planet, and it's going to be relatively soon. And I mean, I don't set dates. I don't even know if it'll be in our lifetime or our children's lifetime. When I say soon, I just mean, brother, all of the prophetic signs that the Word of God for thousands of years has been telling us we're going to unravel in one generation. The fig tree bloom, the return of Israel, that generation will not pass, Jesus said, until all of this comes about. And what is all of this? Everything right up to the angels gathering the elect from the four corners at a trumpet blast, Matthew 24. That has happened in 1948, 73 years ago is all. And so we're the first generation in 2,700 years to see that happen. And then just within the last 3 years, Jerusalem has been returned and restored and legalized as the capital, the chief city of Israel. Zechariah speaks of it. Luke chapter, I think it's 21, Jesus speaks of it, about Jerusalem in the last days being surrounded by the armies of the world. Well, why would that be? Well, because Israel has it. Well, but how could Israel have it if there wasn't any Israel? Well, now there is an Israel. And now Jerusalem is the chief city, and Satan wants it back. It is ground zero. I wrote a book called Gods of Ground Zero. It's all in there. So all of that's happening, plus every technology that's spoken of in the Bible is either in operation right now, or there's nothing in the Bible that speaks technologically that shocks us, because it's either we're using it, or we already know that people are working on it and getting ready to bring it to fruition. So all of these things, and much, much more, but those three big ones. I tell you, there's a fourth big one, and that is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, where Jesus said, and in the very last days, this gospel of the kingdom is still, it's going to be being preached into all the world, and then the end will come. Well, we're the first generation in the history of the planet to see the gospel literally 24/7, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. For the last 20 years, it's been going all over the planet, literally, as we're speaking. It's broadcasting all over the planet. No generation before us have seen these huge booms of prophecy. They're right in front of our face. So that's where we are, brother. And so all of this other stuff, you know, churches being closed, nations being controlled, children being controlled, minds being messed with, people living in fear of death. It's a global epidemic, according to the National Institute of Health, leading to drug abuse, suicide rates as an epidemic, alcohol abuse, pornography of addictions, mental illness. The National Institute of Health called it mental disease. And an epidemic of mental disease is sweeping the planet. Brother, the Bible speaks of all of this. And we're the only generation to see not only one of these things I just spoke of, but all of them colliding at the same time right now. As you and I are speaking, it's all going on right now. So that's where we're living, brother, and the church had better wake up to it.
Yeah, amen. The church is... You know, while the parable of the virgin talks about at first, you know, they're all asleep and then, you know, half waking up. But the point is, I think I want to get at is, well, this is what I wanted to ask you. Forget about all that. What I wanted to ask you is, you know, you have a congregation and you travel and you talk with other people like the people at Skywatch that write books and things. What is your feeling coming from the people? Are people getting anxious? Are they getting more awake? You know, especially the people that are like you, your peers that write books that you associate with. That's what I would like to get that kind of feeling for the people tonight.
Yeah, well, so exactly what is it that you want me to answer, brother? I mean, you addressed several things and kind of crammed them into one thing, but what is it you want me to address?
Let me start with your congregation. Is your congregation starting to feel more anxious or more excited, or is there a change in the way that your congregation in of itself, because of everything going on, how do they feel?
Yeah, now you got to remember, I've been the pastor there for 35 years.
Right.
So I mean, other than the fact that I have grown in my understanding of how the scriptures connect, and I certainly don't hold myself out as somebody that understands every piece of it 100%, but I mean 35 years of preaching, teaching Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, conference after conference, book after book, and researching, and I mean I've learned a lot, but I've been preaching for 35 years that these days were coming. And here we are, and so my church sees it, and they get it. And we've never been anxious or fearful. I'm a very positive person. So I preach, look, this is going to happen. Listen, I told my church 33 years ago that based upon my understanding of the scriptures and watching what's happening in our world, 33 years ago I said, I believe in our lifetime the Supreme Court is going to legalize gay marriage. Now, most of my congregation kind of snickered politely. They loved me, but you know, I was a young man back then. They thought, well, that'll never happen in the United States. Well, 2015 it happened, 6 years ago. And here we are, and barely a church speaks about it. You know, now they just normalize it. And, well, you know, it's law now, so wink, wink. And so, but my church was prepared. So when that happened, they went, oh, my gosh, you know. And so all the way down to Jerusalem returning, you know, to Israel that has returned, to the technologies necessary to fulfill all of the prophecies of the Bible, all of that's happened in these 35 years I've been preaching, and most of it's happened in the last 10 or 15, 20 years. And so my church is not a perfect church, but it's a good church. It's solid. And we've lost people over the years because they thought I was off my rocker, but many, many, many more have come and replaced them because they see now especially, they see that, no, we've never been off a rocker because we've just been standing in the Word. I never use the words, I am a prophet. I've never claimed that, but I also realize that God has used me prophetically in 35 years of preaching and teaching. I'll say things, and then they come to pass, and I you know, and so that's what God does with his faithful servants. So the church that I pastor gets it. In fact, we never close during COVID. We live stream. We've got live stream membership now. We've baptized people over line, people that can't online, people that live in other nations that can't go to churches, Canada, other places like that where they're still under basic lockdown. And we now, this is never in my life has this happened to me in my ministry, and I never dreamed it would. We've got people moving to our area from all over the United States. In the last couple of months, I can think of four families that have moved into this area largely to be a part of Florida, which still seems like the United States more than the rest of the nation, and to come to our church because they've been following me, they've been reading my books, they've been watching us online, they've been following the messages, worshiping with us, and they understand that even though we can't be 100% correct, and we're not some cult, and I don't say that we're the only ones that get it, but that people are realizing that this is a for real church. So you've got that. But on the other hand, in the same community in which I live, brother, we're watching churches just barely limping along. Some of them have shut their doors because they closed and they just basically destroyed their churches, and, you know, people fussing and fighting amongst themselves in different churches. Brother, there are two churches in our area that as soon as they opened up, they just went right back to all the filth that you see happening in churches for all of these decades. I mean, sexual problems, money stealing problems, fussing and fighting about who's going to have the power, pastors leaving, people getting fired. I mean, that's just happened in the last 3 or 4 months, brother. And so the answer to your question is some churches are waking up and getting it. But let's just say some, you know, we use the word church. We're not talking about denominations or buildings. We're talking about blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled Christians. And so Jesus said not just everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Now, I could preach an hour-long sermon on what doing the will of the Father means and what he meant by that. But the bottom line is, just because people have been sitting in a church, just because people joined a church, just because people shook a preacher's hand down through the decades and say, okay, I'm saved, doesn't mean they're saved. We're now watching the tares being pulled from the wheat. We're now watching the sifting of the church going on all over the planet like it has never happened before. So the answer to your question, Pastor Dan, is in my observation of traveling the nation, staying in contact with the world through people that I know all over the world and watching what's happening in my own area of the world, there's a great awakening going on, and at the same time, there's a great falling away going on.
Yeah, amen. Let me say a couple of things. Number one, and folks, I want to say this wholeheartedly, Pastor Carl, is your example that you set, Carl, as, like you said, your church has been awake. Your assembly, they have been awake because the shepherd has been feeding them all these years, which you perceive to be the truth to the best of your ability without, you know, encumbrance and worry, in a sense. You looked after your flock. Well, that folks, is what I say, and I'll say it again. Pastor Carl is a great example of what you need to find in a church. If you're going to go to a mainstream church, this is what you need to find as a pastor that stands up there and opens his Bible and puts himself accountable. You know, that's one thing you are too, Carl. You make yourself accountable to the things you say. You don't try to hide what you say. I mean, your opinion's out there in what, 11, 12 books now? Your opinions are out there, and still you're the pastor of this church that you've been there for 35 years. You say that your church, it isn't a big shock to your church because they've been being pre-warned. And then I want to address the prophecy thing. You know, well, it's not that I'm sitting here saying that you're a prophet, but I know on this radio program, there's many things that we've talked about over the years that you brought up, and you said, well, I think this is going to happen, and it happened. That's a fact. I can testify to that fact. I know that as a fact, and then I still got the radio programs to prove it. They're still online. So the example that you're setting is the example that we should see in any church door, that when we open it, there should be a shepherd that's caring for his flock, such as you. The churches that are falling away, you gave a perfect example of that. They're, because they let the world in, the world is more God than Yahweh is. And so they're falling apart, and they're being in strife. They're accepting the world and not the word. So, amen. I really appreciate you, Carl. I really, really do. And you set a good example. And there's your proof. You have people moving there just so they can be part of your congregation.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. You have people that are tuning into you, your live feed program, you know, for what, Sunday, you know, for your Sunday program. So, amen. Back to you. We got about, oh. You got about 35 seconds, and you got to give your website, and we'll come back and talk.
Yeah, okay. Well, I look forward to coming back and talking, and thank you for your gracious words. Yeah, my website's carlgallops.com, and the new feature that your audience might enjoy, at the top of the page, they'll see a link to my Sunday night Revelation teaching. I'm going through the book of Revelation in a really understandable manner. I've done this many times, but now it's in podcast. They can listen to it. Just go to my website, carlgallops.com. It's not completed yet, but I'm moving along, and there's probably 10 or 11 hours worth of teaching there now.
Right. Amen. I'm looking at that right now. In fact, I just was wondering about that. It says you're talking about your Revelation teachings. You know, but there's a lot of things over there, folks. Go over there and check him out. You can also find a way to listen to his radio programs, because he has a radio program called Freedom Fridays, and you also do, what, a Sunday one?
Yeah, right now, and let me just say, when we come back, let me explain that, because my life's taking a different turn for the better, and when we come back, I mean, we're almost out of time, I'll explain to your audience what's going on with the programming.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay, folks, we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. I don't know what it is. We'll be back.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-rath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit, because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it, and it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib Won at prophecyclub.com.
Food prices going up
Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network. Anyway, folks, we'll get right back with Pastor Carl. We're talking about him some real important things. If you missed the first half of the program, go to the radio archives after the program and listen to it. Anyway, Wichita Mission Church. Hey, we're coming up on, we're in November. We are coming into Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the busiest day of the year, meaning that's the day we feed the most people. So pray about supporting Thanksgiving. Now, while there's turkey shortages going on all over the country, we were able to get turkeys for less than $1 a pound at Walmart, and they still have turkeys, just so if you want to know in the local area. But we bought a bunch of them because we feed a bunch of people. Anyway, point is we got our turkeys. My wife told me to tell you that she needs all of the, especially Wichita area, she needs all the things like sweet potatoes and all that stuff to make all the trimmings. We have the turkeys. Pray about it. If you're in the Wichita area, we really need warm clothing for the people now. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You don't want to support that. Support talk radio. That's a big deal. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, give all, you can get all that information over the telephone, donate over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com, and it should be coming back up. If not, you can go to WichitaHomeless.com. There's a donate button there. Anyway, we're now back with Pastor Carl. Are you still there, brother?
Yes, I am, brother. I am. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Amen. I'm glad to hear your voice. It's like, you know, oh, I'm at home. You know, I'm at home.
Well, that's how I feel about being on your show, brother.
We've been talking so very long, you know. Thanksgiving, I do want to get back right into the radio thing with you and everything, but I was talking about Thanksgiving. Yeah, y'all, you like Thanksgiving, Carl?
Oh, yes. This time of year is my favorite. I love the weather. I love Thanksgiving. I love the upcoming celebration of the Lord's birth. I like the weather to be cooler. I was raised in Michigan until I was 10, even though I'm a Southerner, born and raised down here after that, but I still miss the days of snow and ice skating and fall. So anyway, I love this time of year, and I love Thanksgiving, yes.
Yeah, amen. And Thanksgiving, you know, I talk to a lot of people across the board, you know, from different faiths, or I won't exactly call it faith, but, you know, people that my work leads me to, you know, I might talk to a charismatic, I don't know, how, you know what I mean, different denominations in the body of you know?
Yeah.
So it's one holiday that I don't get any, really ever get any conflict over. You know,
yeah.
You know, everybody else has got their opinions about everything else, you know, and I keep going, oh, it's the Bible that has matters. It's what he says, not what you're saying. Anyway, but yeah, Thanksgiving is my least, argumentative day or whatever. And we so love it. You know, we love Thanksgiving, and, you know, that was one of our favorite holidays, but when we started taking care of the homeless and poor 22 years ago, we figured they needed it also, so we do it at the Wichita Mission Church. So, amen. Anyway, you're just going to tell us about some changes in your life. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, thank you. And before I do, if you don't mind, I'd just like to top off what you just said. Yeah, I love Thanksgiving and Christmas. People argue about, December 25th, and we can talk about that later. We've done shows on that before. But the point is, this time of year is a wonderful time of year to love people, to win people to the Lord, to minister to people. People that are hurting, people that are confused, people that are fearful and scared, and now that's a global demonic spirit. And Thanksgiving and Christmas both are filled with such hope and love and tenderness and Thanksgiving is a distinctly the American holiday and distinctly Christian. And by distinctly American, it would surprise your audience if they don't know this, to look this up on the internet, do a deep study, and you will discover that there are only about 10 or 11 nations on the planet. You got to remember there's a couple of hundred nations, but 10 or 11, maybe 12, that claim to have anything like Thanksgiving. And some articles you'll read that'll say there are a dozen nations around the world that celebrate Thanksgiving. And you say, well, that's pretty cool. And you read them, and no, they don't. They're not celebrating Thanksgiving. It's nothing like Thanksgiving. I mean, they're worshiping the harvest gods or their dead ancestors. And I mean, it's crazy, but the media wants us to believe that, oh yeah, yeah, people all over. No, there are two nations on the planet that celebrate it as a distinctive offering of thanks and praise to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, for life, for the founding of our nations, et cetera, and that's Canada and the United States. And Canada started theirs a little bit earlier than ours, and then ours became distinctly codified into law. And so, like Liberia, the United States helped to kind of get that nation founded, and a lot of people immigrated there from the United States, and they brought with them the United States distinction of Thanksgiving. So people will say, well, Liberia celebrates Thanksgiving just like the United States. Yeah, but they got it from us. I mean, that's where they came from. So, and I could, there's two or three other nations like that. So anyway, I just want them to understand how special, how biblical, how Christian, how Jesus honoring this holiday is supposed to be. And then, of course, the celebration of the coming of Christ. Christmas carols are the most universally known carols and songs on the planet.
Really?
Whether people believe them or not or appreciate it. Listen, even Muslims or Orthodox Jews, they've heard them. They know them. I mean, they may not memorize them, but they know what they are. And all over the world, people have heard of the hymns, Joy to the World or Little Town of Bethlehem or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Those songs and hymns and carols go out to the whole planet. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, and then I'll talk about the broadcasting.
I appreciate that, Carl. Amen. Yeah, and people are, this is one thing too, we have the next month and a half, we get the, people do open their, it's the time of year, but they open their hearts and people give more during this time of year. And it starts this month, November, December. We get a lot, but boy, I don't know. As fast as inflation and everything is going, oh my gosh. Anyway, but I'm interested in what you're taking us to just for a break.
Yeah, thanks. Well, listen, brother, I'm just going to open my heart up to your audience. I've not done this with any other media audience. You're the first one. My church knows it. My family knows it. A lot of my listening audience from Freedom Friday know that I've done something, but nobody knows what you and your audience are going to be told. Not that it's a big deal. Most of your audience probably say, well, that was interesting, but I don't care. but
I care, Carl. I care.
Okay. I appreciate it. Well, you asked me, so I'm going to tell it. So it's not all about me, but I just think it does demonstrate some biblical points, and that's there are seasons. in our lives and ministries. And I mean, there are changes that take place. Well, here's the deal. I've been broadcasting for over 20 years on real live radio stations on the Gulf Coast, over four different stations during that time, then broadcasting to the world by live stream and podcasting, and have built a huge audience over the years. I mean, huge. But all that time, you know, brother, my life has just changed. I mean, I came out of law enforcement, and I went into ministry, and I started in a little country church, and I've been there 35 years, and it's not little anymore, and it's not just a little country church. Everything's grown. The area's grown. My life has grown. I started writing books about 10 years ago. Now I've written 12. Those have all become crazy bestsellers, Praise Jesus. All of that has put me all over TV and radio. Praise the Lord. That's all of Him. But that's given me bigger and bigger microphones and prophecy conferences and Bible conferences and tours to Israel, missions all over the world. And so, you know, and this show is live. I mean, it's alive. I've got to have a producer. I've got to have a staff. It's one of those kind of shows. And so it just became, I mean, I love doing radio. As you can tell, I'm right here with you. I love it. And I love live radio, and I love live TV, not because, listen, I turn down TV and radio all the time. My wife can tell you. There's a big TV show that just asked me to come out and do some stuff, but I just couldn't. It didn't fit in. And I told my wife, I said, you know, baby, I don't have an egotistical need to drop everything and go run and get in front of a camera or behind a microphone. It's just, if the occasion is right and God is in it and He opens the door, a camera or a microphone like you're giving me tonight expands the ability for me to speak some biblical and prophetic truth to God's people all over the world. It's just it's a pulpit, and the Lord gives it to me. So, but what was happening, this live show airing over multiple radio stations, and having to have a staff and everything, it just was wearing me down, brother, because, you know, I would go out of town to do a conference, but I'd have to be back at a certain day and at certain times. Or I would go try to, I would go do a TV interview, or I'd go do radio interviews live in the studio. I travel around the country and go into studios live and do interviews, radio interviews. But then I say, but I got to be back. I got to be back by Thursday and Friday. And so that was really inhibiting me. Plus, I love pastoring my church, brother. And 20-something years of that, I realized that, now my people have never complained, but there have been times on Fridays and Thursdays when I needed to do something in the way of ministry, and I had to have my associates handle it. And they do a good job, and my people have been gracious, but I just didn't feel right about it. So, bottom line, I stepped down from doing my live show. Now, couple of days after I did that, without anybody knowing, I've had two major big Christian TV shows wanting to tell. They've been telling me that we've been thinking about having you, flying you up to the studios and you doing your own show and helping us host our shows. And I'm saying, oh my gosh. And so I don't know if those new doors are going to open. I don't know what's going on in my life. But it looks like I may be taking a few turns that are a little different that will broaden the pulpit and the I'm making air quotes, the microphone that I have to the world to share the gospel and God's truth. So that's what's happening. So right now I'm not on live with my own show anymore because I do so much other media and that's a blessing of the Lord. So that's it. Now, you know, just today I made about a 40-minute video cast with Messianic Rabbi Zev Peratt. We did some teaching and we put it up. And there's just today I posted it this morning. And on one YouTube channel alone, we've got 5,000 views already in just a few hours. On the other one, we've got 3,000. And I've also got it on Rumble and BitChute, and I haven't even checked the numbers. I don't care about the numbers per se. It's just I was uploading another video a moment ago and saw all of that, and I said, well, looks like this is going to be good. So that's kind of where my life's going. I'm just focusing it on my church, my writing, other TV and radio interviews. I've just set aside my own live show so that I could just do more in the way of media and preaching and teaching and conferences. Does all of that make sense, brother?
It makes a lot of sense. Give me a minute here to address it. Number one and foremost, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I just ask you to furtherly bless Carl so he can bless you and the world, Father, to bring his information, which is your information, to the world. Open the doors that you would have open and shut the doors that you would have closed. Father, I also ask that you just bless and protect his family in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Well, Carl, that's a wonderful thing. You know, I know what it's like to be tied to a certain time. That's how I ended up on Thursday nights. You know, I had the option of being on a program on Sundays and maybe a Saturday, but it just didn't fit with my time. And so while we're on live radio right now, you know, I'm married to it. That's what I have to do on Thursday nights. I know what and it basically takes up the whole day. So I know what it's like to be anchored to, you know, the microphone. And in light of that, while I don't plan on getting off talk radio, I do plan on increasing and doing some podcasts because people are screaming for more content. But that's just wonderful. I'm so glad that you shared with me. As you can tell, I'm praying for you, brother. Back to you.
Thank you. I know, and you're so kind. I love you so much, Pastor Dan. I really do. You're a great friend and a great man of God. You're so kind and gracious. But anyway, thank you for asking me. Like I said, now a lot of your audience is saying, well, that's interesting, but, you know, it doesn't affect my life. And I get that. I mean, I know this is not all about me, but, you know, some people do follow me and some have, I mean, a lot of people, boy, we got our email blew up when I went off the air. Where are you? But yeah. Anyway, but still, I'm doing tons of media. And there may be some television hosting coming up soon, and I'm still writing books, et cetera, et cetera. So, and pastoring my church.
Well, and you're still – now, still, you go on Skywatch still. You're still going on Skywatch a lot, too, aren't you, you know, with your other brother there?
Oh, yeah. Skywatch and Jim Baker and CTN shows and let me see, some several. I can't even name them all that – fly me around regularly, yeah.
But it made it easier for me to watch Skywatch because they have this Roku thing, you know, and I can and I can click on my TV and watch it. And what's really I always find funny, I'm like, well, Carl's going to be on tonight. I say, oh, he'll dominate, you know. And you do. They always seem to ask you, you know, for they look at you for a final word so many times, you know, and it just cracks.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you're very kind. That's a nice way of saying that maybe sometimes I can't shut up, right?
Excuse, I use it all the time. You're a pastor, you're a preacher. That's what you preachers do.
Well, that's right. And you are right. Most of the places where I've been many times, I mean, after you write a dozen books and you preach for 35 years, I mean, you got something to say, brother. I mean, you know, I mean, so just, that's why I've told you before, you know, early, sometimes off air, you'll say, what do you want to talk about? And I say, brother, just ask me anything you want. We'll try it because I just love God's word. I love explaining it and talking about it. I don't blow smoke in people's ear. I've done right here on your show. People would ask a question. I didn't know the answer. And I would say, I don't really know. Here's my opinion, but I'll check that out. So I just love it, and so a lot of the TV shows wind up that way.
Well, you know, and that's kind of a private joke with me. In fact, I was explaining to you, I think it was to my wife or somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I said, I'm really relaxed with Carl. I said, but, you know, I've been trying for years to find something he don't know anything about because I wanted my wife. And I said, you know, I ain't been able to catch him in anything yet. Yeah, I know. I've listened to some of the programs. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's a gift God has given me to make you think that I know everything. That's a gift, brother.
The truth is coming out tonight.
Yeah. Well, no, brother. I just praise God for the, you know, the little bit of the mind that he's given me. And I do love to research. And, you know, being a cop and investigator for all those years, that helps a lot because I want evidence. I want fingerprints. I want DNA. I want eyewitnesses. I want some informants. I want to take some plaster casts of footprints and tire prints. And I want some admissions of guilt. And then I want to take a case to court. And it's the same way when I come to the scriptures, you know. It's like, okay, I know what all the so-called scholars are saying. I know what some of the modern-day preachers are saying. But I want to follow the fingerprint of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. I want to study this out, find out what God's word is saying, and then do some word studies. Those are, you know, plaster casts, and then go to the scholarship and see what people all the way back to the early church thought about it, what they said. And it's amazing that the stuff that is there that's been buried for centuries that the church has forgotten about and no longer preaches because it doesn't fit the American fluff.
Well, that stands out in your books. See, now here I am, I'm going back to your books, but that's what stands out in your books is I can tell, you know, the investigative part because you'll give two sides of it. You'll tell where the evidence came from. You'll say where it leads from. Then you'll give your opinion on it. You know what I mean? And it's there in your books. It's not like a lot of books that you read and you go, oh, okay, well, where did he get that from, you know? And then you got to go in, and if you want to check it out, you got to do a whole bunch of research to find out where they're at when they simply could have said it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I tend to avoid, you know, I'm avoiding, I get a lot of books that come in the mail, Carl. You know, I have been doing book research for, I don't know, promotion for such a long time. But anyway, publishers send me their books, and other people that aren't publishers that publish their own send me books. And so there's a percentage that I won't even touch, you know, because they're just, you can tell real quickly whether they're, you know, they've got something to say and can prove it. I don't have time for all that other.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Me either. You know, when I was doing live radio, I always dreaded to have somebody on that basically spouted their opinions but didn't have a lot of research to back it up. And not that their opinions were wrong. It's just that, man, you can't say that without backing it up. Come on, man. You know, come on, man. You know, but anyway, no. Listen, my newest book. Can I talk about that for just a second?
I wanted to do that. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Thanks. And I'm not here to sell a book. I want to use this as an example of what I have tried to do something totally different with this that feeds into what you were just saying about how I like to write. So. I've got a book coming out in January. It's called Glimpses of Glory. And, brother, I'm going to get you the first copies I can get, even if I have to send you an electronic copy, which I know you will guard with your life, and you won't pirate it. I know you won't. But I want to get it. It's called Glimpses of Glory. And what this is, brother, it is two books in one. But the main book that you would be reading when you just pick it up and go to page one and read through it, it's written like a novel. It takes you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It's written like a movie, too. It starts with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he heads to the cross, and then it backs up and goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and shows you why Gethsemane and the cross had to happen, and it brings you right on through the days of Noah, everything between Eden and Noah. Then it brings you up down through the ages, and then it brings you right into the New Testament, right at the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph. You follow them on their journey. You find out what really happened according to the scriptures. It's going to blow people away. They're going to say, oh, my gosh. I've never seen that in a manger scene before. Well, I've never seen that in a Christmas story or a Christmas play at church. Where did he get that? But as you're reading this novel, there will be footnotes. Whenever I say something that I know people will say, well, I've never heard that before, and you follow the footnotes, you go to the back of the book, and there's your second book. I've got word studies. I've got scholars and scholarship. I connect scriptures together, and you see it with your very eyes. And the people that have read this have said, this is the most unique book I've ever seen in my life. It's two books in one. It's a novel that puts you in the story all the way from the Garden of Eden, and not just to the crucifixion and resurrection, but then it goes to John getting sentenced to the island of Patmos. It puts you on the island of Patmos with him. Then after he gets off the island, and it tells you how that happened according to history, then it puts you in his bedroom as an old man as he's drawing his last breath. Then you walk with him through the veil into the next dimension of paradise as he passes through and comes back into the presence of his Savior in paradise, which is what he'd been waiting on all that time. So that's how the book is written. But every time you come across something where I say, here's where this happened, this is what happened, Mary and Joseph went here, this is where Jesus was born, this is how it happened, this is where he was crucified, this is why it happened. But you're there. You're a character in there. You're following. You're in the crowd. But when you see these things, you're reading and you're saying, wait a minute, he just made this up. This is fiction. And then you look at the footnote and you go back and you say, well, I got to write Carl an apology letter because he was right. You know, the Bible was right. It's just the church doesn't preach and teach this stuff, brother. It's just been covered up or people don't know it. But the early church knew it. They preached it. A lot of the scholars from hundreds of years ago, they saw it. They wrote about it. I mean, massive material, books upon books about this stuff that when you read my book, you're going to scratch your head and say, I never heard that. But then you're going to see the notes and the word studies and the scripture connections. It's going to rock people's world, I do believe. Let me just give this little anecdote. So I'm with a major publisher, Defender Publishing. I sent this manuscript in to the editor. Weeks went by, and I didn't hear anything. And I thought, oh, my goodness, they might not even going to be, they might not even print this. Something's wrong here. And finally, I got an email from the editor, professional editor, has edited thousands of Christian books. Right. And she wrote me an email and said, Carl, I apologize. I haven't really started editing your book because I've just been reading it. And she said, this is blowing me away. She said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And she said, now I'm going to edit it. And I just wanted you to know that this is an amazing book. God is in this. He is going to use this. And she said, I hardly ever tell an author anything like that. And so I just was blown away in humility and just, all praise to Jesus. And I said, really? I thought maybe you hated it. She says, no, I absolutely love it. And she said, if you want to, you can even use me as an endorsement. You can use my name. And so, I mean, I've never had that happen before either. So I think God's all over this book is what I'm trying to say, brother.
Amen. Well, we're going to have to bail out of here, but I can't wait to read it. And your books have been giving hints of that. You know, you've been doing that all along, but a little more so all the time. We really got to get out of here, Carl, because I'm live. So tell the people where to find you, and I got to go.
Okay, CarlGallops.com, CarlGallops.com. Pastor Dan, thank you for having me on. You're so gracious. I love you and your audience. God bless.
All right. You're a blessing. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church or just talk radio. Get me at prophecyhour.com. You must remember, though, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing, brothers. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua HaMashiach's return. And the Word commands us to do it. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please, please, please bless and keep them, and your face would shine upon them, Father, and be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.